সর্বনিচানন্দ শ্রীরেখারাশ্রীবৃন্দ জয় শ্রী শ্রী রাধাকৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপুর শ্যাম কুন্দি গোবৃদাঙ্গি জয় শ্রী বৃন্দাবন ধাম কি জয় নবদাঙ্গি জয় গঙ্গ সুমন তোষি বকি দেবী কি জয় কানাধি কৌরী বৈশ্বৃন্দি জয় সমদত্ত বক্ষ বৃন্দ কি জয় গো প্রেমানন্দি Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namah Vishvaraya Krishnapasadvaraya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pasacharesha Tarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Sri Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Bhagavata chapter 10 verse 15 Rikram Avya Ravakshatram
Rikram Avya Ravakshatram
Asuhanika Ayutaparu
Asuhanika Ayutaparu
Paryasta Pojasa Rajan
Paryasta
Rudo Rudra Ivantakam
Rudo Rudra Ivantakam Vritram Kavyantra Valkatram Asurani Kayutapaye Paryasam Bodhasarajan Rudo Rudra Ivantakam Vritram Kavyantra Valkatram
Ritrasura Abhyadrava attacked Shatram, enemy Asura Antipayutapai by the commanders of the soldiers Paryastam surrounded Jasa, great force Rajan, O king Kuda, being angry Rudra, incarnation of Shiva Eva,
like
Antakam,
Antakam.
Yamaraj. My dear King Kurukshetra, as Rudra being very angry at Yamaraj, had formally run towards Antaka to kill him, Indra angrily and with great force attacked Ritrasura, who was surrounded by the leaders of the demonic armies. Text 16, therefore, at the end of Satyuga and beginning of Treta Yuga, a fierce battle took place between the demigods and the demons in the bank of the Narmada. Wherefore, here in the Narmada does not mean the Narmada River in India, the five sacred rivers in India, Ganga, Jamuna, Narmada, Kaveri, and Krishna are all celestial. Like the Ganges River, the Narmada River also flows in the higher planetary systems. The battle between the demigods and demons took place on the higher planets. The words Pratame Yuga in the beginning of the first millennium, that is to say, in the beginning of the Dhyanavastata Mangata. One day of Brahma, there are 14 Manas who each live for 71 millenniums. The four Yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali, constitute one millennium. We are present in the Mangata of Vaivasvata Mana, who is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. We are now in the 28th millennium of the Vaivasvata Mana. But this fight took place at the beginning of Vaivasvata Mana's first millennium. One can start to calculate how long will the battle take place. Since each millennium consists of 4,300,000 years, and we're now in the 28th millennium, some 120,400,000 years have passed since the battle took place on the bank of the Narmada. O king, when all the Asuras came onto the battlefield headed by Ritrasura, they saw King Indra carrying the thunderbolt and surrounded by the Rudras, Vasus, Adityas, Aswini Kumars, Pitas, Bhavanis, Maruts, Ribhu, Sadhyas, and Vishvadevas. Surrounded by his company, Indra shone so bright as effulgence was intolerable to the demons. Many hundreds and thousands of demons, demi-demons, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and others headed by Sumali and Mali, resisted the armies of King Indra, which even death personified cannot easily overcome. Among the demons were Namuchi, Sanghara, Anarva, Dvimurda, Rishabha, Asura, Hayagriva, Sanku, Sira, Viprachitti, Ayurmukha, Kuloma, Vrishaparva, Praheti, Heti, and Utpala. Roaring tumultuously and fearlessly like lions, these invincible demons, all dressed in golden ornaments, gave pain to the demigods with weapons like clubs, bludgeons, arrows, barbed darts, knives, and lances. Armed with lances, tridents, axes, swords, and other weapons like Satantanis, Bhushundis, the demons attacked from different directions and scattered all the chiefs of the armies. As the stars in the sky cannot be seen when covered by dense clouds, the demigods, being completely covered by a network of arrows falling upon them one after another, could not be seen. The showers of various weapons and arrows released to kill the soldiers of the demigods did not reach them because the demigods acted quickly, cut the weapons into thousands of pieces in the sky. As the weapons and mantras decreased, the demons began showering mountain peaks, trees, and stones upon the demigod soldiers, for the demigods were so powerful and expert that they had all these weapons by breaking them into pieces in the sky as before. When the soldiers of the demons, commanded by Vitrasura, saw that the soldiers of King Indra were quite well, having not been injured at all by their volleys of weapons, and by the trees, stones, and mountain peaks, the demons weren't very much afraid. When insignificant persons use rough words to cast false, angry accusations against saintly persons, their fruitless words do not disturb the great personalities. Similarly, all the efforts of the demons against the demigods, who were favorably situated under the protection of Krishna, were futile. Here part is a Bengali saying that if a vulture curses a cow to die, the curse will not be effective. Similarly, accusations made by demonic persons against devotees of Krishna cannot have effect. The demigods are devotees of Lord Krishna, and therefore the curses of the demons were futile. The asuras, who are never devotees of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, lost their pride in fighting when they found all their endeavors futile. Leaving aside their weapons, even in the very beginning of the fight, they decided to flee because all their prowess had been taken away by the enemy. Seeing his army broken and all the asuras, even those known as great heroes, fleeing the battlefield out of intense fear, Ritrasura, who was truly a great-minded hero, smiled and spoke the following words. According to his position and time and circumstances, Ritrasura, the hero among heroes, spoke words that were much to be appreciated by thoughtful men. He called to the heroes of the demons, O Viprachitti, O Namuchi, O Puloma, O Maya, Anarva, and Sambara. Please hear me and do not flee. Ritrasura said, all living entities who have taken birth in this material world must die. Surely no one in this world has found any means to be safe from death. Even Providence has not provided a means to escape it. Under the circumstances, death being inevitable, if one can gain promotion to the higher planetary systems and be celebrated here by dying a suitable death, what man will not accept such a glorious death? More part, if by dying one can be elevated to the higher planetary systems and be famous even after his death, who is the foolish who will refuse such a glorious death? Similar advice was also given by Krishna to Arjuna. My dear friend Arjuna, the Lord said, do not desist from fighting. If you gain victory in the fight, you will enjoy a kingdom, and even if you die, you will be elevated to the heavenly planets. Everyone should be ready to die while performing glorious deeds. A glorious person is not meant to meet death like cats and dogs. There are two ways to meet glorious death, and both are very rare. one should die after performing mystic yoga, especially bhakti yoga, by which one can control the mind, the living force, and die absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The second is to die on the battlefield, leading the army and never showing one's back. These two kinds of death are recommended in the Shastra as glorious. Thus end the Bhagavad-gita purports of the sixth canto, tenth chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, the battle between the demigods and Vritrasura. So this is just a description of the battle that took place. So there's nothing philosophical here, it was simply the one of the instances that took place, leading to the, ultimately to the death of Vritrasura and his giving up his demon body. So in this fight, we see that even Vritrasura uses the same argument as Krishna uses to Arjuna. That is, by fighting valiantly, you gain fame, and if you live and are victorious, then you get a kingdom, and if you die, you go to Svargaloka. So in either case, there's no loss. This, of course, is invoking the Kshatriya spirit, the spirit of the warrior. But we see that Krishna uses the argument, and so does the demon. He uses the same argument. And so therefore, these arguments can be used for both sides of the army equally, which means they're not really absolute, because you can use the same arguments for good or bad. But if we examine closely, of course, we will see that ultimately the demon does not get a good destination. Though temporarily, if he follows Kshatriya codes, yes, perhaps he does get some benefit from that. But at the same time, because of his inimical attitude towards the Lord and the Devatas, ultimately he must also get bad birth for that. So the argument given by the demon is not so effective as that given by a devotee of the Lord, since the devotee is an actual follower of Dharma. So this is can be regarded as true, because we'll see that demons fight against Krishna, and they may be glorious because they die in battle with their without running away, but that doesn't mean that they get the same result as devotees. Definitely, if they're killed by the Lord, they get some advantage. Nevertheless, they don't get the same result as the devotees get. And if it's not Krishna killing them, but somebody else, then definitely they don't get even that result. And though devotees may think they will get famous, ultimately they get defamation. So certainly the demons are famous for fighting the Lord, but not in a good way. They get defamation for fighting against the Lord. So therefore the demons may use the same arguments, but ultimately they are faulty arguments. The arguments can be used by the devotees also. Even then, these are arguments based on Dharma. And in the normal world, yes, they have effect. That is material effect. You gain a kingdom or you gain Svargaloka and you get fame. These are material advantages. So even if you do that, but you don't remember the Supreme Lord, then it's also useless. So arguing on both sides from the material point of view is useless. If on the other hand, a person also is a devotee of the Lord and fights in this way, very good. So we see that Arjuna fought in this way, and all the great warrior devotees fight in this way. They remember the Supreme Lord at the same time. They follow their Kshatriya duties. There is no loss in that. On the other hand, if you give up those duties and refuse to fight, but you still are a great devotee of the Lord, there's no loss in that also. So, if Arjuna, in another instance, didn't fight, but still he was a devotee of the Lord, still there's no loss if he gives up Kshatriya duty. So that is stated in the Bhagavatam, where it says that if one performs bhakti and dedicates oneself to the Lord, if he gives up his dharma, and even if he doesn't perfect bhakti, he's still successful. But if he performs all of his dharma but doesn't remember the Lord, he's useless. So if one gives up all duties in preference for bhakti, there is no sin incurred for him, and he can advance. And of course, if he becomes perfect, even better, he goes to the spiritual world and lives there eternally. Even if he doesn't, and he's only doing sadhana still, he gets incurs no sin for giving up those duties. He may or may not do the duties, that's all. So in the case of Arjuna, he did the duties because Krishna desired that he do them for his own purposes. So, therefore, the important factor is not so much the following of the Dharma for the devotional point of view, but the bhakti. So that means that in all situations, the Bhagavatam is emphasizing the position of bhakti and its superiority. This particular case is a little unique because Ritrasura actually wasn't a demon, he was a devotee. So he also thought of the Lord, and that was his whole idea, to die thinking of the Lord, so he could give up his demon body. He was only not a real demon. In some cases, we do have real demons, and they never think of the Supreme Lord. But in the case of Krishna, when they're dying, usually they do think of the Lord because of his attractive nature, and they therefore go to Vaikuntha. So there's some special advantage there, but it's not to their credit, so to speak, it's because of Krishna. In other cases, with other avatars, they do not think of the Lord if they fight with the Lord. So therefore, they get some good position in the material world. So in any case, though, we do have these battles with emphasized kshatriya spirit, etc. We should understand the real valuable thing is not the kshatriya spirit, but the remembrance of the Supreme Lord and the performance of bhakti. For that reason, we will see that Parikshit, who was a great warrior and could counteract Kali Yuga, and he could also counteract the curse of the Brahmana's son, didn't do so. He could have, as a Kshatriya, done that. He had a right to do that, but he didn't do that. He didn't counteract the Brahmana's person's, even though it was unrightfully done. He didn't do it. Why? Because he preferred simply to remember the Supreme Lord in any case, that's all. So a preference to fighting against the curse, he simply thought remembering the Supreme Lord or following the devotional path is better. And ultimately he heard the Bhagavatam, so therefore he got great advantage more than anything, counteracting a curse or whatever. So therefore the conclusion is that though there are recommendations to follow the duties of Svadharma and Karma Yoga, or even to take the route of Jnana, as Krishna also advises Arjuna in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, and understand you're not the body, become detached from that, and therefore carry out your duty of fighting. In other words, he gives two reasons, Karma Yoga reason, fight and go to Svargaloka, or two, understand you're not the body, and fight with detachment from relatives or whatever. So he uses Jnana and Yoga, Jnana and Karma Yoga arguments in order to get Arjuna to fight. But ultimately, the whole idea is not that we're supposed to fight, but we become devotees. That's the ultimate purpose for the devotee. In the case of Arjuna, then it was not just fighting, but it was being a devotee, but because Krishna wanted him to fight, fighting was also part of his bhakti. So therefore it worked. But in our case, it cannot be so. So we should understand that the important point is ultimately not these arguments from karma or jnana or yoga or whatever, but the real position is to become a surrendered soul dedicated to the Supreme Lord. That is the most glorious thing, and it has the best results. So, whatever results you can get from karma yoga, going to Svargaloka, getting a kingdom, getting fame, you can also get by bhakti, though the devotee doesn't desire these things. Whatever you can get from jnana, including liberation, detachment, and renunciation, you can get from bhakti also. So therefore, all the results that are given by these processes is also given by bhakti. However, Krishna does argue from these points of view to introduce these different systems. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, etc. Just to introduce those systems because they are part of the Vedic path. he has explained them. But he didn't have to explain those things at all. Ultimately, all he has to say is that in this case where you are confused about your duty, simply remember the Supreme Lord and remember what the Supreme Lord wants. And do your duty, fight on that, fight on the basis of that, that's all. Do what the Lord wants, finish. Don't invoke Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, or Astanga Yoga. That's the best argument of all. And if he does that, the Lord will be pleased. And everything will be successful. And all the results that he's supposed to get, that is victory, kingdom, Svarga Loka, all these things are automatically accomplished simply by surrender to the Supreme Lord. But that is actually stated at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, where Sanjaya says, where there's Krishna, where Arjuna, then there is all prosperity, there's Sri, there's Bhuti, everything is there, success is there, wealth is there, fame is there, everything is there also, along with the dedication to the Supreme Lord. So in the case of Arjuna, the most important factor was not that he was a Kshatriya, but that he was a devotee of Krishna, and he surrendered to Krishna and he wanted to please him. So similarly here, Indra is fighting on behalf of the Devatas, who are fighting on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Vritra is fighting on behalf of the demons. So therefore, he must get defeated by the Indra. But at the same time, ultimately, he is a devotee. So therefore, his destination is not a low destination, but rather is very glorious also. By getting killed, he actually attained the devotee body. So there was no harm in his fighting against the Devatas for this. Well, he had a demon body, unfortunately. So the demon body exterior was a demon, so therefore he couldn't very well surrender in that body. He had to play the role of a demon for that lifetime. Just as we could also say, well, Jai and Vijay became demons, so they get to surrender immediately and stop the Leela. But they played that role of demons for three lifetimes. And they adopted that sort of mentality and fought against the Lord and were killed by him. So more or less it is the Leela of the Supreme Lord in which Ritasura takes up that role. But he is actually conscious of his devotional past. We don't see that in the case of Jaya and Vijaya when they become Shishupala or whatever. They're not thinking, well, actually I'm previously associated with the Lord, therefore I'm just giving him the body. But Ritasura did have a consciousness like that. So. But he played the role just to get rid of his body.